Welcome back to Creative Therapy Umbrella. This is a place where we talk about creative arts therapy, expressive therapies, creative approaches to therapy, and many things in between. I am so pumped that you're here today to take a listen. This episode is the first time that I have had more than one guest on, and I got to interview three of the most wonderful ladies who are doing so many cool things in the field. And I want to preface this by saying that even if you are not a music therapist, the resources, the documentation, the visuals, all of the different things that Music Therapy Made Simple is making is interdisciplinary. A lot of disciplines could benefit from their stuff. So, Music Therapy Made Simple is an amazing group of ladies who are creating innovative solutions, providing tools for success, and they're cultivating confidence. If you have time, I highly encourage you to check out their website, because although you can listen to their beautiful story and their mission and just get to know them on the podcast, you really have to go to their website to see all of the different things that they are making. They have plans and interventions, all different kinds of visuals, emotion cards, advocacy materials. They have a ton of different documentation, assessment, data tracking forms, I think stuff that could apply for anybody looking for some standardized forms. And then they have some really fun songwriting templates, and they have lots of other things too. And I just saw this on Instagram. They have a 20% off sale on a 4-week early childhood winter session plan. It's still winter here in Colorado, and it will be for another 4 weeks. So I think I'm going to go get that like ASAP. And if not, you could just save it for the next season anyway. It also feels like sometimes I think winter, I know I get like this when winter at this time in March, where it's like it just keeps going and going. It's so hard to get creative at the end of a long winter if you are in a place that you have to extend winter for 6 months. So I'm really excited about that packet. It looks really fun. Thanks for being here and enjoy the episode. Okay, guys, welcome to the podcast.
Hello.
Hello, thanks.
For listeners, this is the first time you're hearing more than one voice on the other side. And today I have with me Music Therapy Made Simple. And to make this easier, starting with Haley, can you guys just say your name so people can connect your name with your voice?
Yes, I am Haley Crane.
Awesome.
I'm Katie Martin.
And I'm Candace Samansky.
Awesome. Guys, thanks so much for spending the time with us today and to talk about all of your awesome stuff.
Thanks for having us. We're so excited.
I've been pumped to have you. I'm glad that it worked out, and to have all three of you here at one time too. That's a scheduling feat in itself.
Yeah.
I would imagine you guys have that experience even just trying to meet with each other for your work.
There are some very late night meetings via FaceTime. That is true.
Yeah. Oops.
Scheduling is a barrier. It is tough.
Mm-hmm. Why are you tired? Had a late night meeting. Sorry.
Went till 2 a.m. And then time difference. You guys are all in time.
Yes.
So, okay. Mm-hmm. So let our listeners know where each of you are located also.
Yes. Yeah, so I am in Fort Collins, Colorado.
Awesome. And then
I am in Kansas City.
Mm-hmm. And Candace.
I am in Dallas, Texas.
Oof. Okay. So there's time zones with that too, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes. I also am moving to New York City after I get married this summer. And this past summer, when we were doing a lot of business stuff all the time, I was on the Eastern time zone, and Haley and I just had so many strange timing conversations where we had a 2 or 3 hour difference. It was nuts.
Yes.
Totally worth it. Nuts.
It's so hard. It feels so simple, but it's so hard. Like that 2 hour time difference really is very, very hard to like, it's 9 your time, right? Okay. It's 7 my time, right? Okay. Mm-hmm. That works. Yes. Like it takes a lot for that for sure.
Yeah. Especially for like early morning or late night, like, oh, cool. Like how about like 8:30 my time? And it's like, well, that's like 6:30 a.m. my time. So like, I shouldn't have a meeting with you at 6:30 in the morning.
It will not be productive.
I'm free at like 8:00. It's like, that's 10 my time. I'm ready for bed.
We've done it. It's usually where someone's like silent. Actually, what was that? Like 2 nights ago, I fell asleep on the phone while we were having a meeting.
Great.
I actually fell asleep while it was happening.
Like, wait, Katie, are you there? And I was like, okay, good night.
I love you. That's one way to close out a meeting, let me tell you.
Welcome to the business world.
Right. Luckily, we love each other, so there's no judgment. Yes. But she did text me in the morning, and she's like, "Are you good?"
We got to start off where we while you were sleeping. Yeah.
You never know.
That's awesome. Well, for our listeners, you guys are all a part of Music Therapy Made Simple. You guys created Music Therapy Made Simple, but you have very rich experiences that brought you to this point. So I would love to kind of go one by one and have each of you maybe tell us your experiences as a music therapist, where you are now, and then we'll kind of dive into what, you know, your Music Therapy Made Simple and what got you there. But just hearing a little bit about each of you individually. And Haley, maybe we can start with you if that's okay.
Perfect.
Awesome.
So I'm Haley Crane. I'm originally from Kansas City. Let's go Chiefs.
Woo!
And I went to school at University of Missouri, Kansas City. And then through a connection with Dr. Dina Register, moved out to West Virginia, where I had my internship and then stayed. I was there for 3 years, did a lot of program development. Was really passionate about starting programs in the school systems. And so I was like so blessed to be able to be a part of that. And it's like still thriving now, even that I'm gone, which is amazing.
Awesome.
And I like still keep in contact with like some of my like old clients and old coworkers. And it's like, oh, like tell me all about it. It's so great.
Awesome.
So I was out there for a long time and then decided it was time for a change. And I, this past August, moved to Fort Collins, Colorado. And I'm a graduate student at Colorado State. So I'm supervising music therapy practicum students, doing some research, taking classes, trying to keep my sanity.
Oh, yes. That is a hard place to be in.
And then in the midst of it, we're starting a business. So yay.
Doing all the things.
Yeah, that's the life.
Awesome, Haley. That's awesome. Candace, can you tell us a little bit about you?
Yeah, so I'm originally from Chicago area. The unique thing about me, unlike Katie and Haley, my undergrad was actually in music education. And so I went to Milliken University in Decatur, Illinois. It's literally in the middle of nowhere, but it's wonderful. And then as we were graduating, I had found an interest in music therapy and just felt like that's where my heart was headed. And so then I went into the equivalency program at Texas Women's University, and that's what brought me down to Texas. And then I met Katie during her internship there. And then I got a job at the Children's Hospital in Dallas. And so that's where I'm currently at. And I serve different clients, and I'm working on the eating disorder unit. I cover pulmonology, GI, and the ICU.
Awesome. That is a range of clients for sure.
Yes, that's, it is.
Keeps you on your toes, I would imagine.
Always, every day.
Yes. Every day is different, which is nice, but yeah.
Definitely unpredictable.
Awesome. Very cool. Okay. And Katie, how about you?
I'm just thinking about this. I guess this makes me like the glue person that brought us together.
Nice.
So Candace and I met, like she said, in our internship at Dallas Children's. And after that, Dr. Dina Register, who was my professor at KU for my undergrad in music therapy, called and said, "Hey, I have this idea for a job. What do you think?" And she was in West Virginia at WVU. And I didn't even know where West Virginia was. I looked at a map and was super confused. And I said, "Okay, I'll interview anyway." And so I went out there, I interviewed, I absolutely loved the job. And I decided to stay. Then what was that, Haley? Like 2 weeks after I got there, Dina said, "I want you to meet someone." And I met Haley and I said, "Oh, I'm from Kansas City." And she said, "Oh, I'm from Kansas City." And we were both like, "Wait, what? How did
Crazy.
Wait, we were like, the same Kansas City? Like, what? And she was like, I went to UMKC. I was like, I went to KU. This is so strange. And then we became roommates and best friends. I guess the rest of the story is that. But we met then and knew each other really, I guess, what was that, 16, but have been from the same place this whole time. So yeah. Basically, it took us going to West Virginia to meet each other, which was cool. I also feel like I'm the person that convinces people to do things. I'm like, guys, this is a great idea. We should start a business. Let's all do it together.
And then
let's go. Yes. So currently, I stayed at WVU for 2-ish years, did a lot of program development, started the music therapy program at the Center for Excellence in Disabilities at the university, and worked on an inclusive musical theater program. And that's what my thesis is currently. And decided to go back to graduate school. I started that last August at the University of Kansas, and I'm almost done, so close. Graduating Yay. In May, working on my thesis. So if you're interested in inclusive musical theater and music therapy, let me know.
Yeah.
I have stuff for you to do.
Did you guys hear about A Place to Be? Their inclusive theater stuff is like amazing. I just want to hear about it all day. So I might have to read your thesis when you're done with it.
Yes. They are such a cool place. I mean,
they are a place to be. That's for sure.
They are a place to be. I think there were a few times in West Virginia that when we were doing Dreamcatchers, that was the inclusive program that Haley and I did was, they were in Virginia, so it was so close. Like, we sort of had chats and collaborated and never got physically together, but they're doing some amazing stuff.
And we need more of it. Like, there needs to be more of that happening. It is awesome. I love the one place that I worked at a couple years ago was doing some of that stuff, and it's just so beautiful, the work that comes out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Cool. You guys have a fun origin story. I love that.
Yeah. It's just like obviously meant to be. Katie and I worked together. Katie and Candace interned together. And then we just had like one night where I was like, hey, I think I might start a business. And I was coming up with names and I texted my people and said, hey, I think I might start a business. Here's some names I've been thinking about. Can you give me any feedback? And Katie called me and said, hey, I was thinking of starting a business. So what do we do about this?
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like blossomed and grown like more than I think either of us like on our own ever could have done. And then we suckered Candace into joining us on our crazy journey.
It's been an honor because they are both like idea makers too. And so I think it's been just fun to hear their ideas and kind of see how like I can fit into that with them. And so I think it's great to have a team where they're willing to like welcome people, you know what I mean? Like where it's like, it feels your importance is valued. And so it's great. I love working with them. It's been so much fun and definitely a big learning process for all of us, I think.
Yeah, especially when you have all those dynamics, like you can learn so much from each other. It's a great thing about having teams when you're a part of a team.
Mm-hmm. I feel like that's something Haley and I have all, like from the beginning of our chats has been really valuing working on a team. Like it's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Especially I think there's a lot of therapists who are just out there on their own and can feel so lonely and isolating. And then having that, you know, we're lucky to live in the age where we can Zoom chat and see everybody, you know, and have all of these online resources and different ways to connect with each other that might not be physical, but still really helpful.
Totally. Absolutely. Especially one thing that like we had a bunch of in West Virginia, which is like a super close knit group of people that were all like working towards a common goal and like increasing access of services to clients and program development, advocacy around the state, and everyone just being so collaborative and working together as a team and just like growing this. And it's still growing even after a lot of us have left. And that was so important to us, like in our professional life, that it was something that we wanted to bring into the our business, like for us in the business, but also mm-hmm. want the business to help with for other people, like bringing community for them and opportunities mm-hmm. for that, because some people are not as blessed as we were when we were out there working on a big old team.
Right. And like, it's part of your mission that you guys have created, that's that collaboration and connection.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. So when you guys originally started with your, you know, you both were like, oh, I have a business idea. Was it the same business idea, or was it like, I want to do this thing, or I have these ideas? How did that process kind of come together?
I think there's a couple answers. So first of all, over the past, I guess, 6-ish years, we have been undergrad students, interns, program developers, undergrad supervisors, private practice owners, working with music therapy interns, back to graduates, graduate students, now undergraduate and graduate supervisors, now starting business. So we had sort of worn all these hats and played all these different roles. But a lot of the conversations that Haley and I were having were sort of surrounding that's the same topics. And so we had maybe our first few conversations of just brainstorming and saying, what do you think? What do you envision? And I was taking a entrepreneurship class at the University of Kansas. And I remember calling Haley after the first class and saying, I think we have so many, you know, ideas and concepts, thoughts, but we need to streamline them into something. Yes, Haley's making this like tunnel.
like a visual, funnel.
Yes. We have a ton. We have to like narrow it down. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And I remember my professor started the first day and he said, you need to solve a problem. That's what your business needs to do. It just needs to solve a problem. And so we started from there, and I was really lucky to be able to take that class and sort of take our business step by step through the class. And yeah, that's a lot of how our brainstorming came together.
Yeah. So that, I love the, it's solving a problem. Mm-hmm. Did you guys experience the problem that you're now trying to fix, or was it kind of like a problem that you heard a lot of feedback about? How does that look with where your business is going now?
Mm-hmm. I think a little bit of both. So part of one of the problems we wanted to solve is to be like a one-stop shop. So an easy place for music therapists and music therapy students and interns to come and just get a variety of like quality, unique, individualized and easily adaptable materials and resources, but also a space for consultation services and different supervision stuff. And so that was a space that we felt like when we were working full time and we're seeing a bunch of clients and trying to like stay creative and do all this stuff, that it was hard to find resources to help us like in some springboarding moments and help us just build upon stuff. And so we wanted to solve that problem. But again, like in an easy, simple way, like it's in the name of the business, Music Therapy Made Simple. Like we wanted to make it all simple for people. Because sometimes I think we'll find different resources or we'll adapt things from other disciplines. And it's not always simple. It can be really complicated to like try and do, and it takes a lot more time. And so we wanted to solve some of those aspects. But then in Katie's business class, one of like the assignments and things we were also just encouraged to do as a business owner is to talk with our people. Mm-hmm. And so Katie and I were bouncing ideas off of one another, but like our experience can look really different from other people. So part of that was talking with other music therapists in rural areas and in bigger communities and everywhere in between to see like, what are your needs and what are things you're looking for and things that would support you? Because we're not just designing this business to serve us. We're designing this to serve our community. And mm-hmm. the best way for us to do that was to chat with people. And I think that's a common, like a lot of businesses, like they're starting a problem, like, or starting a business, they're solving a problem. They don't just like look inside themselves and be like, what do I want to do? And what can I bring to the table? It's like, well, I could bring this to the table, but if it's not going to serve people, then it's not going to have a purpose.
Mm-hmm. And the variety of, I think it's also even additionally challenging for what you guys are doing, because music therapy is so broad and there are so mm-hmm. many populations. There's so many different styles. Everybody struggles with like a different thing, especially like when it comes to resources, what kind of resource they might be struggling with, or whether it's time to do the resource, or if it's, I don't have any more creativity space in my mind, or, you know, all those different things. Mm-hmm. You guys have that's a hard challenge to navigate all of those different kinds of, they're like mini problems that is a bigger problem under the like resource kind of umbrella.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's a huge benefit of our profession, is that you can find your place and your population. But often, like I said, we wore so many different hats, played so many different roles, and now we see our students who maybe plan for one or two sessions a week, and then post-graduation we'll be planning for maybe more like 30 sessions a week. And while we totally believe in their capability, that can be really scary and kind of frightening. Yes. We talked a little bit earlier about in the business class process, originally the tagline that I had said, like, individualized solutions for your unique client, and we have changed the wording since then, but we know that every client situation is unique, and you might have more than one population when you graduate, and you know, curriculum is super packed, it's nearly impossible to get to every single thing, and it's very exciting that you may find yourself in a different population once you graduate than what you've been working in. But sometimes you just need help, and that's okay.
So, like, then you finish your internship and you're like, you worked with the population, and maybe you still love that population, but mm-hmm. wherever you're living, there's just not a job opportunity for it at that time, mm-hmm. or it's going to take you creating a job and building a practice, but that also just takes time. Yes. Or maybe some people, like, they think they want to do something, they do an internship and they're so passionate about it, and then they get in there full time and they're like, actually, like, this is not what I'm passionate about. I want to go another route. Mm-hmm. And that can be like kind of scary.
Yes. Yes. And Candace, you are in a position that kind of demands that of you in its own, you know, self, where, you know, your everyday looks so different. And then to be on the ready, you know, I would imagine that.
Definitely. I think like within the hospital setting, you're constantly on the go. And the fact that like patients are constant, like you are constantly seeing new patients and families, and there's a lot of dynamics. And so I think the unique part about Music Therapy Made Simple too is that, like, I can bring in something that has been created and be in a hospital setting, but then also Haley can bring it into a school setting, and like the adaptations for that and the way that we're supposed to like serve these patients are, you know, might have different goals, but what we're using is something similar or the same, but for each individual client, which I think is super nice in that sense too, because I do see a lot of patients, and just based on like the feedback that we've gotten from other music therapists too, is just sometimes getting that, like knowing what you want to do, but not necessarily having like the exact idea. And so I think that's why we also had brought in the consulting aspect of it too. And so that people who do need adaptations, or if they do need something, or like are looking for something specific, then we can help like sort it through with them. Because I know during internship, Katie and I would always bounce ideas off each other. And then I think even as we moved into professionals, you're constantly calling each other and being like, okay, how can I do this? And what have you used that has worked? And I think just cultivating a team where you're feeling like confident in what you're doing has been so important. And I think that kind of transcends all arenas that you're serving. I think anytime you can bring a group together and bounce ideas off of, then we're doing our best to serve ourselves, so we're not getting burnout. We're doing our best to serve the clients because we're kind of constantly creating new ideas and adapting them as we need to. And so I think that's been so helpful. And I think that's what we've all kind of noticed too as professionals. And even since like Haley and I met too, you know, like I can trust her to go and be like, hey, like I have this, how can you help me? And so it's nice to have that resource and someone that's kind of at the tip of your fingers whenever you need them to support you.
Yeah, Yes. Yeah. And it's, I think the way that like you're saying on how you can take one thing and you can talk with somebody else and think of how do I take this into this population, or how do I take this one song and use it for my preschool and then also use it for this individual client. And then if it's appropriate, totally. Of course, but mm-hmm. you know, having some bouncing those ideas off of people or seeing something like a resource, and then you get, it's a springboard for different ideas. I think it was a episode with Dr. Betsy King a couple weeks ago that I released. And she used to say this thing of like, you can't prescribe interventions, but that things are just a springboard mm-hmm. into your own creativity, or that they're a support and not necessarily and something applicable, which you guys are really passionate about.
Definitely. And I think all of us have worked with so many different professionals too, in addition to just like other music therapists. So I think it's been cool to see too how they can like utilize us and like what we have, and kind of create it so that it's all encompassing for a ton of different fields.
Yes. Interdisciplinary work. It's the best.
I think on our definition, we said other professionals, music therapists, music therapy students, and other professionals is who we serve. And yes. I think that's something else we've been super excited about too, is that we've had the opportunity, we had a grant at WVU to work with teachers and families to strategically use music. And we want to also, you know, have our reach include those individuals as well, because it is so exciting.
Yes, which is really exciting, especially for like anyone listening who is not a music therapist, but maybe has a client that is very musical. And, you know, where do I go? Where do I go with this idea? And you guys have mm-hmm. this one-stop shop of like, here's some ideas that might work and, you know, different things to try for any professional that wants to support that, you know, musicality, creativity, whatever it is.
Because mm-hmm. we know, absolutely. We all know like music is amazing. And it can do so many great things, but that can like look different in different settings and with different professionals, and they can still mm-hmm. utilize the music, but sometimes they just need some help in doing it because it's not what they're trying to do. But similarly, like Candace working with an art therapist, and she's not an art therapist, but occasionally like learning some things, she can implement some art in different ways to meet a specific client need. And so we're super excited about that opportunity of just connecting with other professionals and helping them use music to reach their clients' full potential.
Yeah. And it's like that. I always think of a Venn diagram, and music is this huge, like if music is this big circle, all of these other adjacent fields are these other tiny circles that we're overlapping with. And like, there's that space on the edge where art and music overlap, and play and music and speech and OT, PT, behavioral, everything. We all overlap with each other. And it's so nice for other disciplines to know, you know, hey, there's this space. If you're curious about particularly music, here's how it can kind of address some of those in-between spaces and that middle space. And if you don't necessarily have that background.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, absolutely. Of course, we're always wearing our advocacy hat too. And I feel like that is a beautiful way to get more people on as music therapy allies, is really reaching out and talking to other professionals and talking to families and new people who see the power and reach of music, but want to learn how to manipulate it and use it to help.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that advocacy piece is so, I love that, how much you guys have embraced that, you know, let's use music in all these different spaces, and here's how we can help you do that in an effective and still you're advocating for the field in a really fantastic way, but like sharing the beauty of music through it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of this just goes, we talked earlier about like our mission statement a little bit and how it's like changed as we've developed this. But I think a lot of those pieces really connect back to our core beliefs and things that drive us as the business, that we're here to create innovative solutions, whether that's through digital resources were something that you can download and use that day, or creating an innovative solution within a supervision context and providing tools for you to succeed, whether you are a music therapist, you're a parent, you're a speech therapist, you're an art therapist, we want to help you succeed. And by you succeeding, we know that your clients are going to succeed, because that's at the heart of what all of us do. Yes. And then just cultivating confidence that we know that you can do it, and we might just be giving you a few tools to help you get a little more creative and find a new way to maybe reach a goal and connect with a client, and then empower you to keep doing that, because you can. And sometimes we can just get overwhelmed, or we just get just like, you have a new population, or you're working with a new client, or something is just hard for you to deal with. And like, we want to be a space where you can come to and purchase something on the website, or like meet with one of us and just chat through it. That way we can help you find your confidence again and get you going, so you can continue to change lives.
Yeah. So as you're, you know, you're explaining some of these, the consultation piece and then the physical things, can you guys give us some examples or some, tell us a little bit what that looks like?
So all of our supervision starts with a 10-minute like free phone consultation. So you can get to know us a little bit. We can get to know you a little bit and also determine whether or not it's appropriate for you. It might just be that like, oh, actually this other resource would solve your problem, or yeah, let's sit down and really chat about this and solve this with you. So they start with 10 minutes. We call you up. You can do all of that like on the website. And then we have a couple different like tiers of services, where we might need to chat for a longer period of time or a shorter period of time, which we just kind of dig out in that 10-minute conversation. And then one thing that we're really excited about with our supervision and the consultation services is that we have options to also give you individualized materials and resources. So you're developing a program and you're going into a school setting. Let's do that, because that's a lot of my experience. And you're like, I don't know what to do. I need to chat with someone about this. We'll have a conversation with you. And then we have an opportunity to then give you some resources for marketing, some examples, and just different things to help you really develop that program and have the conversations that you need to have in order to access that. But it could also look like working with a new population. It could look like I'm starting to burn out and I don't know how to handle this, and having some just strategy conversations, and can really just like run the gamut for like lots of different things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think the whole goal for that too is just that like, we want everyone to feel valued and supported in what they're doing. And so just providing additional resources for them that can help them succeed and help them feel supported and help them feel valued, especially when even developing a new program or moving into a new population, it can be so overwhelming. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like anything we can do to kind of help them feel their best, you know, like our goal here is really just to help them, everyone feel valued and important and what they're doing, to have that support.
Yes. And it's so, I think that, and I think we've touched on this too, of like those feelings of, if it's inadequacy, if it's just new, if you're just like, you're switching populations, or you started a new job and you're developing a program, or you have to go to your first IEP meeting, like mm-hmm. all of that can be really incredibly overwhelming, especially if you don't have the support of, you know, a giant team behind you. So that's, I love how it almost, it's like a la carte, you know, it's like very individualized support of like what each, it's like what we're doing as therapists, but for a therapist. Like, this is the, mm-hmm. let's tease out the kind of exact support that you need and then see how we can fill those boxes.
Absolutely. Definitely. So like we sort of talked about with trying to help people realize that their situations are unique, but also give them a resource that maybe fits a lot of needs. A lot of our visuals include visual schedules, and we have a lot of options that are either, you know, would your client do better with small icons or large icons? And we've included a ton. I mean, how many are there, Haley? A ton of icons.
30, 40.
I mean, yeah. Varieties for what you may use that for. They come with the icons with different ways to line them up. So if we know, you know, first, then, or have a to-do list where we check it off. And you can see all the different options on the website. And then we also have things like conversation cards. What else is on there? I'm trying to look at.
Behavior stuff.
Emotion flashcards.
Yeah, emotions.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. So exciting. So we had someone contact us about doing emotion cards in Spanish. And Haley and I called each other like right when the email came up. We were so excited. We were like, this is so much fun. Because we got to do exactly what we've just been talking about for the last 30 minutes, which is like, find what you need and make it individualized. So that was super exciting.
I actually have one for you guys. It just popped in my head as you were saying this. In my last episode, it was with Chris Wojak. He was talking about, I'm not going to remember now, the embodiment of emotions and how all of our emotion cards are face only. But we're also trying to do this thing where we're teaching and showing how your emotions are within your whole body. Yes. So emotion cards, I see Candace dancing over here, emotion cards that show a whole body of an emotion rather than just a head of an emotion too, to have that option for clients to talk about what their body feels like when they're angry, sad, all of those things.
Absolutely.
Cool. Writing
so much time
now.
Just this week. Haley's on it.
Yes. Yeah.
No, that's such a good point. I've spent so much time this week talking to a few clients about coping skills and how that can physically look depending on what emotion you're feeling. And that's hard to describe if you don't have a visual. That's so true.
Yeah. And I think too, I've done there's a, you know, online, you can find it's just a body outline, you know, and doing that experience with of like, well, where do you feel worry and where does, you know, depression sit for you, you know, and it's different for everybody, but it's so, it's, I think just like culturally we're finding more about the body and the mind connecting that they're not totally separate, but that, you know, it's all connected, but then having that visually.
And I also think too, like there's so much pressure that you have to have like a certain face too sometimes. Like if I'm happy, then my face is always smiling. And then if I'm sad, my face is always frowning. And so really just kind of a lot of understanding the body and how you could be smiling, but you could still be sad.
Yeah. And then that's like the masks that goes in. Somebody talked about a really great intervention with like, what mask are you wearing, but what are you feeling under it? You know, like the mask that you wear and all of that different stuff. But having the visual is so like those pieces of like, I love that idea. And Chris and I were talking about, I was like, oh my gosh, I don't know how to make it. Like, so like, that's exactly like you guys are serving that problem of like, this is a great idea. How does somebody make that happen? And that's, you guys are solving that problem.
Well, keep your eyes out. It's on the list now.
Yes, I love it. I love it. The other thing I saw on your website that I thought was so cool was I think they're like, not maybe like brochures of music therapy to give to other professionals. Can you guys talk a little bit about what those look like or the purpose that they serve?
I think that's the graphics, right?
Yes. The graphics. I think that these are great. I think everyone should get them. I think that it's so important for people to understand how they can use this in different populations, specifically like with infants or in a medical setting. You know, like I think there's a lot of people that understand, as music therapists, we understand what we do and we know our value, but how can we have other people understand what we do? And also, how can it work for you? And so I think that's why the advocacy graphics are so great, because they really give just like a good layout as to, here's what we do, here's how we can help you, yay music therapy. You know, like this is exactly, I think, what we need to continue to push for in a lot of settings, and just to give people a good understanding as to why we have value as music therapists.
I think too, they were designed to give examples of each one of what that might look like. Sometimes it's easy for us to describe what a music experience might look like in clinical terms, but it really changes for whoever you're talking to. And so a lot of these graphics are designed that way so that if they're in a gathering space where parents can see them, or if they're at bedside where a new provider wants to check them out, that the language can assist really anyone who's looking at it. And sometimes, like we talked about, cultivating confidence, sometimes it's just knowing, having the words to say, that is helpful.
Yes. And I think the huge thing, the first thing that popped into my mind with that is time. There is, you have a finite amount of time when you're with somebody. If you're in and out of a house, if you're in and out of a patient's room, if, you know, you're walking through grad school and somebody asks you, but you have 5 minutes, you know, like having something that's quick like that to advocate, but also really explain that's tailored to somebody. Because also when you're on the spot in those moments, it can be really hard to find those words and the like, who am I talking to? How would it best be described? What would best be described in this situation? And having something like that as a resource is just so helpful.
Originally, the How to Use Music with an Infant was designed for, where were we working, Candace? In the NICU? I can't remember exactly, but it was originally designed for parents because it can be scary to not know when it's appropriate to interact with your baby who's super fragile. And then as time went on, it really was relatable to how parents were interacting with their toddlers, or how teachers were learning to work with new kindergartners or people that needed other adaptations. So it really can be used for a lot of different populations. Mm-hmm. And like you said, there are times where you just need assistance in what to say.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Not to mention that these can be seen while you're not talking to someone. So it's like extra ways to advocate for the profession and what we do.
Mm-hmm. Have them like on a bulletin board somewhere, or mm-hmm. like where there's a lot of traffic and not like car traffic.
I would say nurses stations. Like we put them a lot on nurses stations and that let them check them out when they have time.
I always think of in schools, there's like the boards, usually there's like a board of resources, and like that would be a great, you know, when to call the music therapist.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
That's awesome. So you guys have this amazing resource. What are your, as it continues to grow and you continue to serve all these different therapists from all different disciplines, where do you hope that this is going to continue to grow and what it might continue to serve down the line?
Great question. We have, again, we touched on at the very beginning, we're like full of a million ideas and there's like so much floating around. So right now, we are excited about some new packets and things coming out, specifically some stuff we got feedback recently about packets for interns.
Ooh.
So as they're really stepping into that space, giving them some resources and some feedback on seeing if we can create some CMTEs. So those are like two of like, I'd say the biggest next things that are happening, but we have lists of materials that we're wanting to create and put out there, and like ways to do that. And then we have many other things like in the works, but in our heads at this point.
Isn't it hard to bet, like when you're an idea person and you have mm-hmm. like 8,000 ideas and it's like, I don't even know where to go. What do I do with this? What do I do? Which one do I pick? Which one do I go with? How do you guys?
Candace is really good at that. Haley okay. and I just like chat. We just like talk over each other and talk on the phone all the time. And Candace is so great at streamlining what our ideas are and like bringing the vision together. At our the end of my business class, the teacher said, "You just need to execute excellence." And I feel like we all have so many ideas and are functionally really great at executing excellence, but sometimes we all need like each other, this team, to work through it, yes. which has been beautiful and messy, but kind of the fun of it.
Yeah. So Candace, can you tell us how does your role look with that? How do you kind of bring all these ideas and then streamline that process?
Well, I think naturally I'm just like a listener. Like I love listening and soaking in everyone. Sometimes I feel like Katie and I will be on the phone, or even Haley, and they're like, "Candace, you there?" And I'm like, "Yeah, I'm here." I'm like this myself. And so I think it's just thinking about like the big picture as to what we want to be like accomplished in this, and like how can we do that with what we have right now, mm-hmm. and how can we do that so that it's sustainable for everyone, because they're both students too. And obviously as a professional, our time can be limited. And so respecting our boundaries and like wanting to have a life too, you know, and like also providing enough support for each other so that we can continue to grow and sustain. And so I think as ideas come together and as we're all talking it out, I think just like listening to see a lot of the times Haley and Katie have the same idea. And it's just kind of like tweaking it so that both ideas are represented in the best possible way for either the website or like materials. And so it's great though, because I think creativity wise, like because we all have experience in a lot of different arenas and like growing different things and being a part of different things, I think a lot of it is nice that we can all funnel it down. But I feel like a lot of times it's very much so like, okay, I hear what you're saying. Let's try this and see if it goes this way. And then if this is not what you guys are feeling, then we'll go the other way. And so it's really just trial and error, but that's a part of the journey.
Yes, yeah. So. You're like the synthesizer. You're like pulling it all in and like, okay, let's go this far out. Here's the paths we can go. Yeah. That funnel of like that middle part of like, now here's our options.
Yeah, definitely. And I think the whole thing too, is that like, what can we do to sustain this? And so how can we do this so that we're continuing to encourage other professionals to reach out to us, but also how can we do this so that we're feeling like this is sustainable for ourselves, mm-hmm. As professionals and as people who are starting a company and as students and as soon to be wives, and you know what I mean? And so like, I think all of it kind of goes back to all the different hats that we wear as a part of our life. And so how can we best do this while still maintaining a sense of sanity?
Yes. And I feel like you guys are like, that's a fantastic model for the people that you want to help. You're trying to balance things yourself, and that's what your purpose is, also to help other people find that balance and strive for that balance in their own of like, where does this make sense? Or, you know, does it make sense to maybe just go online and look at some resources to help me create some intervention plans for this new population that I'm with, and so I can go home and make dinner, you know, like very,
exactly.
Striving for that balance.
Yeah. And I think too, like thinking about even the consulting services and the materials and everything that like the whole Music Therapy Made Simple plan is really just to enable and encourage people to feel like they have support and they have the things they need, so that if they want to have dinner with their family, they can, and they're not stressed about it, and trusting that we're working with you and we're working alongside you. I think very much so we want to create a community of music therapists and like support for each other, because it can be overwhelming in different settings. And if you don't have that support, and then you're juggling all of that on top of having a family or on top of moving. And so I think our whole purpose really is just to provide additional support, and how we can do that is through consulting, and how we can do that is helping with materials and adapting materials. And so really just providing as much as we can so that people have a balance, and so that we can all be sustained as music therapists in the field.
Yes.
I think this whole time from the very beginning, we've said just how much we believe in the potential of music therapists and mm-hmm. how we want to see that come through in everything that we offer.
Definitely.
And unfortunately, burnout is a really hard thing that a lot of music therapists deal with. And the first mm-hmm. 5 years, I think, is the statistic of the highest rate of burnout for music therapists. And I think what you guys are doing really serves to reduce the likelihood of that, of knowing that you have a support behind you.
Yeah. And I think too, students, like, I think we sometimes can underestimate the value of a student having additional support. Especially going into this, because our goal is, right, like if a student is going through a music therapy program, how can we support them even as an intern or even as a practicum student? And how can they get outside support and outside ideas without being like fearful to ask, because they don't know, or, you know, they're still learning just as much. And so I think really cultivating that all around for students, professionals, you know, in all arenas, just that there is that support there so that a student doesn't feel like they can't do this because maybe they are in a tricky setting and they don't know how to navigate it, and they might need just like another opinion or another thought or someone to support them in another way.
Yes.
And we've kind of done that through this whole process is ourselves. It's like knowing that we're going to fail and that's okay. We are going to make mistakes, and we have already, and knowing how to problem solve. And like you said, sort of making that priority list of, okay, I need to do this so that I can do, you know, this next, or what should be coming first, or what else do I need to consider? So I feel like we have lived that out a little bit throughout this whole process of starting the business.
Yeah, and giving ourselves some grace.
Yes. Grace.
It's okay if it's 2 weeks later than we thought
about. Oh, yeah. Yes.
It's okay.
Our timeline.
Great. Oh, timelines. It's okay if you get laryngitis and can't put out an episode. It's like that Murphy's Law again. It's like that stuff comes in. But I also love how, like, you guys are talking about the learning experiences that come from failures, whether as a therapist, as a business owner, you know, as our clients, to see us gracefully handle that too, of, you know, failures are, I love the reframing of failure is a learning opportunity. It's not a failure. It's either I grow or I have a learning opportunity, you know, and especially with business, and especially starting a business, there's a lot of that. A lot of that comes in and out. There's so much trial and error, like someone said earlier.
Mm-hmm.
I think consistently too. It's so funny because social media is great and it's wonderful and it's definitely helped us a lot. But it's so funny how sometimes we'll post stuff and you're like, "Oh my gosh,
what did we do?
Spelling your name." And then we're like, "Oh well, it's already out for the world to see." So at this point, like, you know, like, we're trusting that this is just a learning opportunity. And so it's been funny though, because at this point, I feel like all of the pressure that was felt maybe at the launch is like, okay, well, now we did one thing, and so we're going to learn from that, and now we're going to do the next thing, and, you know, we're going to all learn from that. And so I think this whole journey, and I think even in the future, like, asking about what our future plans are and like where we see it, I think it's just going to constantly be us learning about what works and what doesn't work, and trusting that, like, the support that we have within our immediate Music Therapy Made Simple team is that, like, we all have the same mission. And so how can we continue to do that even when we are failing, or even when things aren't working, and kind of just being open to the flow of how things might change and how we might, you know, like, something new might happen and we're going to branch in a different way, or, like, you know, like, just keeping all arenas open so that we're not limiting ourselves, and also trusting that if we fail in one way, like, let's get up and try it again. And, like, how can we do this so that, we're just keeping ourselves open to what's next and what we want to do. And
I think that flexibility is what makes therapists good business owners. You know, like, you're open to, like, what can happen. And I'm excited to see, like, I hope someone, you know, like, throws an idea, and then you guys are like, ooh, you know, here's this whole new place where we could go because someone has that need. And then, you know, you guys as therapists and as business owners, you have that flexibility to be like, yeah, we can make this happen. You know, it's like in a session when someone's like, I want to hear this song. It's like, I've never played it before, but we'll figure out a way to get there.
But here it goes.
We'll go for it. We'll find a way, trial and error, but we'll get there.
Yeah. And I think that's even, like, as the process of creating the business happened in conversations with people, that's when we then, like, change some of the ideas and the trajectory of how things were going, because it's like, oh, that's a need and that's where we should also serve. So as we continue to have conversations with therapists and parents and teachers and, you know, whoever else that, like, needs support, that will also change some of our future. And, like, we want to collaborate. We want to hear from them. Like, we're so excited to be that resource and just, like, be that space for people.
Yes.
And also just wanting that feedback too, like, how can we support you and how can we make this useful for you? I think sometimes people think feedback is a bad thing. And I think it's so much like a great growing opportunity for you to see what is out there and what you can improve on. And not even the sense of like a large scale thing as like a person, but I just think the feedback that we received from even just like our Instagram polls, all of that is going to be so helpful for us and like how we can serve music therapists and students and other professionals. And how we can continue to grow, really.
Yes. There's so much power in that. And I feel so similar in the same thing of like, I want people, like everybody listening, like go fill out those, go on Instagram and hit those buttons, write an email, like we can't get better until we hear your feedback, you know? And it's so important to, I think like for listeners, for people who are out there and see your resource, to feel that empowerment of like whatever is going on that you need help with, like this is what we're doing and this is what you guys are here for, is to, but you have to engage. Like there has to be, you know, we can't know unless you tell us. I feel like I say that to my clients all the time, like clients who are, you know, with the communication barrier of like, I don't know how to help you if you don't tell me, or if you can't, you know, like let's use your talker, you know, like, but it's true. I think it, I really think it applies so much to when you have that, you want to engage with your audience of, you know, it's a call to action. Get out there and email you guys and, you know, respond to those Instagram polls.
Definitely. I think that's absolutely been motivating us too, is hearing from people. I mean, every time that we have heard from someone, it's just been so exciting. I mean, endless possibilities, really.
Yeah. We have one of our friends from West Virginia has a little Etsy shop, and she sells like things that she's knitted, I think is.
Yes, her, Addie.
Something. Yeah, she's amazing. And it was like before we like started our own business, like she had her little thing and I would just see her like talking about things all the time, like supporting local. Like she's a huge fan of just supporting anything local and like supporting small businesses. And whenever you support a small business, like those people are seeing your purchase. Those people are seeing the impact. They want to connect with you. They want to have this relationship. And it's so much more special for them than it is for like some other big corporations. And that was like something I was like thinking about as we were like creating this business, like, oh, that's kind of true. And it was like really real when it like happened and like we launched and then people are talking to us and people are like purchasing things and we're getting emails about stuff and questions that are coming in. And we're like, oh my gosh, like this is real and this is happening. And like, it's alive. And it's just like, oh my gosh, it's like unreal. It's so crazy. And I just like thought back to like, oh, like Addie is so right. Like, it's so exciting for us and like having those connections and getting that feedback and just like being in that community with people is like really special and something that like other spaces don't have, that we just like are so blessed to like be a part of now.
And I think too, it's the other piece of being a therapist and a business owner. The relationship is always like, a relationship is our biggest priority. It's number one. We love, like, you know, nurturing relationship is what we do, and doing that in a different aspect, but for the importance of supporting people and that it's, you know, this growing, that you want to help people grow, you want to support, and that different role as a therapist in a new avenue. But those I think like you were saying, Haley, those main not your mission statement, but kind of like your core beliefs of the business, those are very therapy-ish, you know, we're therapists. So yeah. Very cool.
Yeah, it's the whole process has been so fun.
Awesome.
And stressful. We've been stressed.
I did see the screenshots a few days ago. I was looking for a picture and I saw some of the screenshots I took on the launch day at like 4:24 in the morning, where we had been up for like a solid 2.5 days. And they're pretty, I don't want to post them, but I sort of do want to post them.
They're going to be like for your like anniversary. That would be a great,
yes.
Like, check out. I had like makeup running
down my face. Haley had her retainers in, like it was, yeah.
I love that. I love
it. Oh my gosh. Yeah. The realest of the real. Yeah. And we're like, tech, we're like, all right, we've launched, we're doing it. And like people in other time zones that are like already waking up for the day and they're responding like, it's so exciting. I'm like, oh wait, you're waking up. We haven't gone to sleep. It's okay. It's fine.
Totally cool.
Worth it.
Totally cool.
It was worth it.
Right.
So we're delirious anyway. So well,
yeah, I think there was like some point too where like there was no words. All of us were just like on video and no one was saying a thing and we're all just like doing
working. Yes.
Yep.
Yeah.
The space is there. But yeah. Well, you guys are doing such amazing work, not only as therapists, clinicians, students, writing thesis, oh my gosh. All of that on top of what you're doing for your business is just amazing and so needed. We're going to have links in the show notes to the website, but also, and anything that we talked about to schools and all of those different resources will also be listed there. But for our listeners who want to follow you on Instagram, or if you have a Facebook place for people, can you guys tell us a little bit about those connections so that people can get out there and connect with you and tell you what they need?
Yeah. Like, we want to hear from you. So we spend a lot of time on Instagram and Facebook, both of them. It's just the name of the business, Music Therapy Made Simple, for Facebook and Instagram. And then the website is the same, musictherapymadesimple.com. And there's spaces on all of those three platforms to reach out to us, to just like send us information. We put up polls and just like want to engage with you on those. But also, if it's easy, you can shoot us an email. And again, musictherapymadesimple@gmail.com. So all four of those are great ways to get in contact with us. Let us know how we can support you. Let us, like, if you've interacted with the website, interacted with our social media, give us some feedback. Tell us what you're loving about it. Tell us where else we can supplement things to assist you. And just like get to know us. And if you're at the Midwest Regional Conference, Katie and I will be there with bells on. Yes. Katie probably won't have bells on. I might have bells on.
I will be listening for you. You're like, where is Haley?
You will hear her. Awesome. No doubt.
Yay.
So come find us. And then we'll just like be popping up basically wherever we can after that.
It's awesome.
National conference in New Jersey. To, like,
connecting.
That's right. And you're going to be in New York.
Is that time?
Yes.
Yes. Awesome. Awesome. Yes. That's going to be exciting. It hasn't been in, I'm from New York, and it hasn't been, I feel like, on the East Coast in a really long time. It's been kind of like mid or West Coast. So It's exciting that it's going to move over that way. So it's not super long or expensive to get to. Yes. Cool. Guys, well, this has been so lovely. Thank you so much for taking the time and just talking about your passions and your work with us today.
Thank you.
Thank you, Kate. And this is a great resource for lots of different creative arts therapists. And I've enjoyed listening to the podcast and like learning from other therapists and other disciplines that I have never, like, I've interacted with some disciplines, but like, of course, not all of them.
Yes.
And so that's been really cool for me.
I'm so glad to hear that, because that's the biggest thing, is I want people to not just listen to your own discipline, but listen to the other discipline, because that's where there's so much knowledge there that we just, We can, it's there for the taking. So that's awesome.
Yeah, it's wonderful.
Awesome.
Thank you so much.
It was so much fun getting to know Katie, Haley, and Candace, and I just loved hearing about their mission statement, everything that they stand for, their whole origin story of how Music Therapy Made Simple came alive, and I cannot wait to see where it's going to go. This resource is going to be so helpful for so many therapists out there, whether they're students, interns, young professionals, seasoned professionals, who are maybe even moving into a new population. So many therapists can benefit from what they are creating. So again, check out their website. The link is in the show notes, and there's that 20% off that's happening. Very excited about it. If you're enjoying the episode, it would be super helpful if you can go onto iTunes and subscribe, rate, and review us. This really helps the podcast become so much more visible to other people who are looking for this type of resource. So the more reviews that we have, the more subscribers, the more that when somebody types in creative arts therapy, music therapy, art therapy, that this podcast will pop up for them. Thank you guys so much for listening. Take care and be creative.